The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Car Subaru Studios and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you can spend part of this sunny afternoon with us. Nicole's back after her four-day weekend. She missed the big shoe incident yesterday.
I thought it was mud. I saw a photo and I thought you were playing in mud while I was gone or something.
It was quite the brouhaha. Ron and Don had me on. I felt guilty because it was, in case people weren't listening yesterday, I wore a pair of shoes for the first time. They'd been in my closet for I don't know how many years, 2-3 years. A friend gave them to me. My wife said, hey, are you ever going to wear these? I wore them yesterday, and they disintegrated. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got home, Ursula, I had laces on top, but the sole was completely, I was socks on the bottom, and I threw them straight into the old garbage.
I mean, it looked like a shredding tire. I mean, there was
I've never seen such a thing. So do you reach out to the people that made them and say, what's going on with your shoes?
No,
there's a chemical reaction of some sort.
A friend gave them to me.
And apparently this is a company that no longer exists or something.
Well,
gee, I wonder why.
My friend has a company, and they used to carry the shoe, and he says, yeah, they don't make that shoe anymore.
But should we just let them get away with
But I feel guilty. Should I tip the cleaning crew in the building?
Because they are very sweet. And they did a very good job of cleaning up.
They had to vacuum everywhere.
Yeah.
Should I tip them? Do you tip at the hotel?
How about you say thank you? Do I tip at the hotel?
Yeah, when you stay at a hotel for 4 or 5 days, do you leave a tip for housekeeping? Honestly.
Sometimes.
That's not a no.
No, I do sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. If it's especially disastrous.
Yeah, exactly.
If you've been drinking, partying,
I mean, if it's
hard.
Just me. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
If it's just me in the room, maybe not. But I know that there are people who are super generous and do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
How about you?
No. I don't. We all have a job to do. And that's their gig. So... And I never leave much of a mess anyway. Why do you snort at that?
Unlike yesterday.
I'm quite fastidious when I travel.
Yeah. It shouldn't be about whether you leave a mess or not, because really, I mean, they are working. But that's a whole other thing. I didn't realize you were supposed to tip.
Well, I've heard that. But nobody tips me for doing the show. I get paid by my employer.
You're in a completely different range than someone who cleans your hotel room.
I get paid by my employer. That's for doing a job. Okay, I got a lot of stuff to get to here. Enough about my shoes. Enough about tipping hotel people. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Bizarro world.
We are in Bizarro world. Because let me tell you what I spent a couple of hours doing. Last night and this morning, because there's been all of this talk about the head tax. The Seattle City Council wants a business tax for drug addicts. That's not how they sell it, but that's what it's going to end up being. 2 years ago, 2016, the people of Seattle passed, they were already taxing themselves more than any time in our region's history, about $40 million a year for homelessness in Seattle alone. And the mayor, the accused child rapist, Ed Murray, he said, you know what? If we want to deal with this homelessness crisis, all you got to do is double the housing levy. And there was news stories and politicians, and they said, double the housing levy, and we can deal with the homelessness crisis. And so I went and I found a bunch of the news coverage and the mayor press conferences and everything. Channel 9 did a story about the 2016 homelessness levy around here.
The 2016 levy proposes spending $290 million over the next 7 years, double the previous housing levy. Almost 40% of it would go to rental housing, 4% to homelessness prevention, and a little over 3% to assist low-income homeowners.
Okay, so that was going to take just the levy portion from about $20 million a year in Seattle to $40 million a year. And they said, but if we do that, then we can get a grip on this homelessness issue. And the accused child rapist, he was out selling this thing.
Mayor Ed Murray wants to take a bold step in 2016.
We should pass the largest housing affordability levy in Seattle's history.
He wants to double the seven-year levy from $145 to $290 million.
Yes, if you just give them another $145 million. On top of the $145 million they were already going to collect over 7 years, then we could get a grip on the homelessness issue. And the accused child rapist, he sold it every chance he could.
To provide emergency shelter for the 3,000 people who remain homeless on our streets would cost $49 million a year.
Yeah! So if you do this, we'll fix it. Right, accused child rapist?
I am proposing that we double the housing levy this year.
Yes! And so the people of Seattle, because of their endless gullibility, because of their endless generosity, they said, you know what, accused child rapist? We're going to follow your lead. We're going to double our property taxes for homelessness so we can fix the problem. Now, in all fairness, they didn't say it would fix the problem. But they certainly implied that if the people said yes to the most massive homelessness tax in our region's history, that we could finally deal with the problem. And so, yes, it was. The people voted and said, double our property taxes for homelessness. Take more money from us. Fix the problem. It's just one problem with the reality of 2018. You see, 2 years ago, when the people said, double our taxes, we had about 3,000 people on the streets. They took all of that extra money, and did it solve the problem? No. Now they tell us we have about 5,000 people on the streets. So in other words, while most major cities are seeing a reduction in homelessness, while we are in an economy that is, economically speaking, regarded as full employment, below 4% unemployment. Basically, if you want a job, you can get a job today. Unless you are unemployable. If you have mental or physical disabilities, then you might not be able to. But if you want a job and you're healthy enough to work, you can get a job. So we have full employment. We doubled the homelessness tax. We're spending more. And the accused child rapist even said that in one of those sound bites. He said it will be the biggest tax for homelessness in our city's history. Which clip was that where the accused child rapist said that?
Mayor Ed Murray wants to take a bold step in 2016.
We should pass the largest housing affordability levy in Seattle's history.
Yes. Yeah. Woo! Woo! Let's fix the problem. Woo! Where'd the money go? Why do we still have not just the same number of homeless on the streets? Why do we have way more? We did what the accused child rapist asked us to do. We passed the biggest levy for homelessness ever. We spend more money per capita than any city in the United States of America. And the problem has just gotten worse. Could it be because a lot of that money is going to the homelessness industrial complex, to all of the people who are making well into the six figures, running the Low Income Housing Institute and SHARE, share one of the most non-transparent agencies you will ever find. Share, which pledged to be open, and anybody who wants to see their books can. But good, hard-working, investigative journalist bloggers have made requests, like that guy from the blog Quixotic that I've had on the show, who has just written. I read a bunch of his stuff last night on Share and how there's no transparency, how all of these people who are cronies of government officials are getting their big six-figure jobs. And they won't open their books. They won't show us anything. There's no transparency. But bottom line is, the same people, Mike O'Brien, Kashama Sawant, Bruce Harrell, Deborah Juarez, the child rape apologist, Sally Bagshaw, the same people who said, double your property taxes 2 years ago, they're now saying, oh, you know what, let's tax business and then we'll fix the problem. How stupid could people be? How gullible could a region possibly be after the sound bites I just played for you? The reality that we all are already spending more than any city in the country. The problem isn't a lack of money. The problem is who is spending the money. You could give O'Brien and Sawant and Rob Johnson and the lot, you could give them $1 billion. And they wouldn't be able to fix the problem because they're incompetent. Because government is all they care about. Growing the size and scope of government. Rewarding their cronies. And on it goes. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
And then Kashama Sawant, she made a couple of announcements today. She's going to have a march on Amazon this Saturday, 11 a.m. They are going to protest the corporate extortion of the city. Who's going to protest Sawant's extortion of the taxpayers? Sawant talking about needing that property tax increase 2 years ago and squandering it and making the problem worse. Who's going to march on Sawant, for crying out loud? The construction workers did last week. That was beautiful. But Sawant told Q13 Fox, we got to stop the sweeps. She wants these homeless encampments. Where, by the way, speaking of Ed Murray's alleged crime, the homeless encampments, like the jungle, we had proof that little girls were being turned out as prostitutes. Little 13, 14, 15-year-old girls, heroin addicts, were making money for their drug by turning out children as prostitutes. And people like Sawant, she don't care. She don't care if child rape's happening in these encampments. She says, if we pass all these levies and this business tax and all of that, we still want to have the encampments. She wants to make sure we still have the encampments and that they can go without being hassled.
Year after year, the city of Seattle and the mayor's office have spent millions of dollars carrying out sweeps of homeless encampments. Has that reduced homelessness? No.
No, but what it's done is it has the encampments have led to tremendous crime, to home break-ins, to car prowls, bicycles being stolen, children being raped. There is a crime associated because the more drugs we have, the more we have crime so the users can continue to feed their habit. So what is Sawant's message to the homeowners who are affected by all of the crime around here?
Homeowners are saying we are compassionate towards homelessness, but we are not compassionate when it becomes lawlessness. What is your message to those homeowners who are being negatively impacted and not getting the help?
I think a lot of ordinary working people, those who own homes, those who are renting, are being impacted by...
But do you notice when she starts talking like that, when she slows down a little bit, she has no clue what she's going to say. She has no clue. She just kind of stumbles and she just keeps saying words. But when she starts slowing down, I've noticed this with her over the years, and we've talked about this a lot. She's a very unintelligent person who taught economics at the community college level but knows nothing about real-world economics. But when she starts slowing down like that, and you'll notice this now that I've pointed it out in the weeks and months to come when we play sound bites from, when she starts talking slowly like that, she has no idea what she's about to say, but she will string words together and her dopey followers will just know, oh, that was great. There we go. Where's my audio? There it is.
And not getting the help.
I think a lot of ordinary working people, those who own homes, those who are renting, are being impacted by, increased incidences of house break-ins or car break-ins. My own car was broken into. But if you want a real solution to the problems you're worried about, then it's not going to be solved by blaming homeless people.
See what I'm talking about? She had no clue what she was going to say, and then what she said was just indecipherable. It meant nothing. But she said it for 20 seconds to give a soundbite to that Q13 reporter there. And the people who showed up in Ballard last week to have a discussion with Mike O'Brien about all of the crime and their failure to spend money in any kind of responsible way. You know what the Seattle voters are, according to Sawant?
There are people out there angry. Seattle residents are angry that they're not seeing an improvement, and they directly blame city council members like yourself for mismanagement of funds.
I think the media is paying too much attention to a few very, very loud right-wing NIMBYists who are, showed up to the city hall at the city.
The people who showed up in Ballard are right-wing NIMBYists. I know my old neighborhood really well. There aren't very many right-wingers in Ballard. They all voted for Mike O'Brien. They voted for, there's no other options. But there just aren't very many right-wingers at all in Seattle. And that, again, shows just how little brain power is at work with this person.
I think the media is paying too much attention to a few very, very loud right-wing NIMBYists who are, showed up to the city hall at the city council meeting at Ballard.
Is it fair to call them right-wing NIMBYs? Many of those people voted for Mike O'Brien.
I think the people who went to Ballard and spewed out anti-homeless slurs, that is a right-wing position to have.
If you are sick and tired of your house being broken into, your car being broken into, your kid's soccer field being covered with heroin needles, then that's a right-wing position. So, given that she is a left-winger, what that clearly means is that the left-wing position is that you are in favor of home invasions, of car prowls, of bicycles being stolen, and of heroin needles on soccer fields. By her own definition, she says being against all that stuff is a right-wing position, so the left-wing position has to be that you want the heroin needles on the kids' soccer field. Yeah, that's a great political position to stake out there. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, I got some fantastic audio to play for you right after Ursula's newscast. Are you sick and tired of those telemarketing calls that are just coming incessantly on our phones? Wait until you hear one way to fight back. It's fantastic, and it's next on the Dory Monson Show. We've been talking about so much serious stuff. I figure you need a little levity in your life here. You know those robocalls that we're all getting
yeah.
constantly? And the one I get most often, it's the resort in Florida.
And it's on your cell phone now.
I mean, yeah.
I might be the only person in Seattle anymore with a landline. And I get a ton of those.
We just got rid of our landline because we only had two people who ever called. I think I mentioned my wife's mom and the blood bank. that was it. But yeah, it's on our cell phones.
Yeah.
We're constantly getting the robocalls and it's for the resort. So I saw a story about a company, and they have developed an artificial intelligence app so that when the telemarketer calls, you can kick this in, and it will just annoy the heck out of the telemarketer. And so it has, it can tell what they're saying and give a response that's somewhat connected. But and it's supposedly you that the telemarketer's talking
Does
to.
Does that feel mean?
No! It feels wonderful! And so it was called the Jolly Roger Telephone Company that does this. And so I sat and I listened. They have all of these audio, these are real-life audio samples of, because you can record the telemarketer calling you. And so let me just share with you a few of these. They have different characters that you can use. And when you say, does it sound mean? I will, as I've mentioned before, I worked as a telemarketer yeah. selling Time Life books for 4 hours when I was 17 years old. I got there at 8 a.m. on Queen Anne, got there till made it to my noon lunch break. Was going to go to Dick's, and I just kept on going.
And why did you stop? Because people are mean when you call, right?
Yeah. Okay, but it's just reached epidemic levels right now.
I know. And I realize when I get upset with the telemarketer, it's not their fault.
That's their choice.
Yeah, okay, I know,
at least I got out.
Okay,
I got out because I realized I was annoying people after 4 hours. I decided to annoy people on a much broader scale by getting a talk show. So anyway, these are actual calls the telemarketers have made. And again, the other voice besides the telemarketer is this artificial intelligence app. And they just put in enough, tell me that again, enough to string them along. And I just think it's genius and brilliant and fantastic.
This is an urgent public service announcement regarding your current electricity bill. In
Hello?
Telling you
Can
that
I help
you are
you?
Now qualified under a recent bill
passed in
Congress. Because
the telemarketer calls, they always start with the recording, and then when you say something that's a key word, then the live telemarketer kicks in.
The American Recovery.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, thank you for responding in regards to reducing your electric bill. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with today?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with today?
Mm.
Hello?
Oh, hold on a minute. Okay, hold on. I'm watching the television here. There's a hockey game on. Oh, hold on. There's a penalty. Hold on. I'll get right back to you. Okay, just hang in there for a minute.
I love this.
Hello? Yeah. Do you know anything about hockey? Let me lower the TV for a minute because I don't hear you, okay?
No problem.
I mean, the poor woman, she's trying to be good-natured.
Well, she's thinking, hey, I'm going to be good-natured about it, develop a little relationship.
Might make a sale.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Did a goal happen? Did they
my
score?
My mind's in the box. So what did you call
box.
Me about?
Well, my name is Christina, and we are a community outreach group called... And what we do here is help homeowners reduce their electric bill by qualifying you for a solar power program that can reduce your electric bill up to 60%. Now, that's a lot of money. Maybe you can buy yourself a ticket to a hockey game.
Oh, she's really trying here. She doesn't know she's talking to a computer.
So what would you say on average do you pay a month for your electric bill? Sir?
I don't know what you're talking about. Can you start all over?
Oh, no.
Well, my name is Christina, and we are through.
It goes on and on and on. Here, let me jump ahead because she starts getting really annoyed after five. This is about 5 minutes in now.
She's giving it five minutes.
Are you interested in saving 60% on your electric bill?
Okay.
Does it sound good?
You know, I don't hear you. Can you talk a little louder?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. Can you hear me better?
Hello.
What is that about? Can you tell me more?
That's just one of several computers that you can load, computer voices. And again, they have just calibrated it. So if they hear a keyword, a phrase comes up on by your voice.
Is this available already?
Yeah.
Is it popular?
I don't know. I just found out about it today. You want to hear another one of the calls? This is this character on the other end of the line is Jolly Jenny. The computer voice is Jolly Jenny here.
Hello.
Thank you for this morning, credit card services. How are you doing today?
Yes.
And this is a credit card scam. They're trying to get credit card information, this scammer.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, the reason of this call is to notify you that today I received your profile and it shows me that you are our good customer. So on behalf of your good payment history and good credibility, your profile has been qualified for the free vacation trip on your credit card, okay?
And that's the common theme is every one of the computer voices, they always toss in an just enough to sound somewhat interested.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, so ma'am, right now what I see here, let me pull up your mailing address.
Mm-hmm.
No, there is no mailing address and no name on your mobile number, okay? And I can show that, ma'am.
Sure.
Can you please grab a pen and a piece of paper along with you? Yeah. So I will let you know about the destination details, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, ma'am, do you have a pen and a piece of paper with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, ma'am, we have so many destinations, more than 30
destinations. This is all designed to try to get her to give her credit card info. And let me jump 2.5 minutes into this call now.
So, what do you want from me?
Okay.
Tell me what you want from me. Don't say okay.
Right.
Otherwise, I will call your husband, okay?
Oh.
And tell him everything is going to be done.
Okay.
So this guy's going to extort the computer now.
Uh-huh.
What okay?
Uh-huh. Hello? Yes?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hang on. Are you a real person?
You say. Pardon?
Oh, honey, are you okay? Hang on. Okay, you're going to be okay. All right. I'm on the phone. Yeah. Okay, all right. I'll be there in a minute.
So now she's dealing with her kid, and the telemarketer has to hold on. And I've heard this woman's computer voice with two different telemarketers, and it's the same thing. A kid comes in, and they make them hold.
If it's a scammer,
I love this.
I love it. If it's a scammer, I love it. If it's someone just doing their job,
I still love it.
Just say, you know what?
They're
not
wasting
interested.
Our time.
Bye.
No, they're wasting our time. I want to play one more of these. Let me take a quick time out. You got to hear one more because I just love this. This is a way to fight back against the telemarketers finally. All right, lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Okay, I like this because I'm sick and tired of, and I don't even answer my phone if it's a number that's not in my contacts. I just ignore calls. But then sometimes I miss some legit calls.
Do you know, in the last 3 hours, I see all those red numbers? Those are all solicitors. I've gotten those in the last 3 hours.
Well, Jennings was
ridiculous.
Jennings was pulling the audio for this company and their fight back strategy. And as she was pulling the audio, she got a solicitation on her cell phone.
They're out of control now. And it's very sneaky how they figure out what city you signed up your phone in, and then they call from a number in that area.
So this particular company, it's called Jolly Roger Telephone Company. I just found out about it today. And their tagline is, our robots talk to telemarketers so that humans don't have to. And the way they describe how it works is, and I don't know how much it costs, but they say, pick a robot you like. When you receive a telemarketing call, you transfer it to your robot. And after the robot's done talking to the telemarketer, it'll send a copy to your email so you can listen. And so these are some of the actual telemarketer calls that people have recorded where the telemarketer thinks they're talking to a target, to a mark, but they're actually talking to the robot that you have on your phone. So here's another one. I love this one. This is the original robot that they offer.
Yes.
Oh, Anderson Roger.
Yes. Hey, honey.
What, sir?
Yeah.
Well, you are fine.
Well, we haven't really gotten that far. I'm not sure yet. Sorry. Who? Never mind.
So the robot is talking to somebody in the background, just all distracted, and can't really pay attention to the telemarketer. And it's just this fantastic.
Can I talk to you later?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
No problem.
I'm back. So who's this? Sorry. Can you start over? Who's this? Why are you calling?
Sir, this is Robin, calling you from the center.
Sure.
Yeah, sir. Sir, we are just providing you free of cost quotation on how you can get 50% off on your monthly electric bill.
Okay.
So you are the homeowner, right?
You know, I was having trouble concentrating because you sound exactly like somebody I went to high school with. So sorry, say that part again.
Sir, you are the homeowner, right?
Sure.
Yes. And you are living in regular single family home.
Right.
Single home. Yes. So just tell me this thing. Are you paying more than $100 on the electric bill?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, sir.
Hang on. There's a bee on me. Hang on. There's a bee on my arm.
Okay.
Okay. You know what? You keep talking.
What?
I'm not going to talk, though, but go ahead and keep talking. Say that part again. And I'm just going to stay quiet because of this bee.
Okay, no problem, sir. Sir, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sir. Talk to my supervisor. He will guide you much better than me.
Okay, so the guy thinks, okay, I've got him on the line for 2 minutes. So now he puts the closer, the supervisor, on to talk to the robot.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for holding, sir. My name is Sam. I'm the senior guy on the floor. How you doing today so far? Alrighty, God bless you. Is Anderson Roger, right? Appreciate it. Basically, sir, what you're trying to do, we are providing you some free of cost quotation for you.
Yeah.
How you can save your money up to 50% on your electric bill.
Yeah, like I'm going to skip forward a couple
PG&E.
Minutes here.
Sir,
hello?
What you're trying to do,
yes.
We are providing you free of cost quotation.
Is this a real person?
Yeah, it's a real person. What was that?
Okay, so I just woke up from a nap. I'm still kind of groggy, and I took some medicine that doesn't help. So, you know that feeling when you just wake up, you need a couple minutes to think and figure out what's going on, maybe get some coffee. Do you drink coffee? Hey, honey, is there any coffee?
Yeah, I need that coffee, you know. I'm very tired right now.
So can you just go a little slower? Who's this?
William.
Hang on a second. Hang on. There's a bunch going on here. Hang on. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Who's this? What are you calling about again?
This is 4 minutes in.
I'm calling you about a solar panel, sir. We are selling you solar.
Oh, I might have to get one of these robots. I think I've got my way.
To be clear, you're not endorsing them at this point. We don't know much about the company.
I don't know anything except I enjoy the audio clip.
Company.
Okay, Fast 15 is coming up next.